Well, considering that, our time under trouble is conditional. But it's also fixed, because God has a means to an end, right? It's fixed by the timing of the tribulation, because that's when God's people go into the wilderness and they're free from their persecutors, right? Well, time will tell, but I think we have enough evidence to see some things. As I've said, I believe God will give us ultimate victory over the Haman, Pharaoh, Sennacherib types, but there is a means to an end, and it is repentance and faith for every individual. And anybody that's not doing that is just fighting our cause. And in Sennacherib's case, only the bride escaped. The rest went into captivity. But to some extent, this has already happened, because a lot of God's people are in bondage to the beast. They're not freed by the Spirit of God to follow Him and hear His voice. But the rest of the people who were in bondage were freed when Sennacherib's government fell at the bride's gates by the judgment of God. In all of these cases, the troops surrounded the people of God with their threat, and the people cried out to God in the fear of Him. And, of course, we know that in America we haven't had that fear. And then, of course, God answered by smiting the enemy. Not through their works. None of these were through their works. It was God's work. So I believe this may start out looking bad, but as God's people repent and take authority, it will be turned around. And I'd like to warn everybody that may be new to us to not rise up in any physical way or with any weapons against this government, because God put them in there to bring His people to repentance. And why kick against the pricks, right? Those who take the sword will die by the sword. That's what the Lord promises. So that's why I say, be careful. Don't get caught up in any wrestling with flesh and blood, but just wrestle with the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Amen. Kathy Lechick sent this on the Democratic National Convention on July the 21st, 2016. She said, "Hi, David. Tonight, after listening to the UBBS, I read it in print form and went to the links. I went to Mina Lee's vision on 7/12/16 and noticed that at the end of her word, she said we needed to pray for the state of Pennsylvania, that Satan had something planned, but she didn't know which city. I wondered if it could be Philadelphia. Maybe so, maybe not. Maybe that's a distraction and they will do the dirty work somewhere else. But Philadelphia, of course, is the site of the Democratic Convention next week," she says. I looked up Democratic Convention 2016, and one of the articles caught my eye. It said, 91-year-old former Democratic delegate sees 1968 in 2016 electoral politics. I wasn't able to bring up the whole article, but I wanted to know what happened in 1968 convention. I looked it up and found that it was in Chicago and was filled with rioting inside and outside. 23,000 police were on hand for 10,000 demonstrators, with reports of police brutality, and the National Guard was called in. So I asked the Lord for two words concerning the Democratic Convention and got Jeremiah 26 and 3. And in context, I'll share it with you here. I'm going to start with verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. And all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word." And we try to do that, too. We try to make sure that what the Lord's saying to us, we get to say to you, right? Well, then this is the verse that she got, Jeremiah 26 and 3. "Perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I purpose to bring on them because of the evil of their doings." Well, that calamity could be rioting, false flag, martial law, a loss of the country. And that's, of course, if there's no repentance. Could the Lord be warning that calamity will start at the DNC? Which, by the way, is tomorrow, starts tomorrow. "And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if you will not hearken unto me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I send unto you, even rising up early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth." Well, Shiloh was the place of the temple in the time of Saul, who factioned against David, basically. And even though David had received the anointing from Samuel, and Saul and his people fell to the enemies of the land, just like Nebuchadnezzar conquered the apostate leadership of Israel and their people. And what the enemy leaders of this land can do and how far they go is conditional upon God's people repenting, as we can see in this text. And then Kathy went on to say, "The second word I got was Matthew 24 and 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man appeared in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Well, now, God uses text sometimes just as a snapshot to say certain things to us. You know, not necessarily that this is the timing of that, right? But we do know the Lord is coming in a way that most of the church doesn't know. And this, of course, is literally speaking of the end time coming, but we know He's coming. He's coming as a man child born to a woman, He said in John 16. But notice that after the calamity comes to the apostates and their leadership, Jesus comes in the man child David's to bring an end to this. After the death of Saul and his government, David came with the new government. Okay, so we see here the possibility of martial law and all that means, which is total dictatorship and turning things over to Muslims and taking rights from Christians and so on, and defending the Muslims as they kill the Christians and all kinds of things like that. Okay, it might not be pretty. Well, I asked for a confirmation for Kathy's text and got basically the same thing, but in a different book. Jeremiah 7, 1 through 15. Let me read it to you. "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house." Well, there it is again. "And proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute justice between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the sojourner, the fatherless, the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your own hurt. Okay? So he's saying, these are the temple of the Lord. See, people say that because, well, in this case, because they were Jews. In our case, because they're Christians, so-called. But he's saying, you can't walk after the world and love the world and walk in sin and call yourself a temple of the Lord. How's the Lord going to dwell in such a temple as that? Right? So he said, if you do these things, then will I cause you to dwell in this place. In other words, your temple will be fine. You know, you'll be all right. In the land that I gave to your fathers from of old, even forevermore. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense unto Baal, walk after other gods that you have not known? Many do that not even knowing it. You know, they're following demons. They've been trained since they were little to follow certain demons that has been inherited by their family. And they just follow them blindly. They won't repent and obey the word so that these demons become uncomfortable and leave them. Verse 10, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered that we may do all these abominations. Yep, that's what happens. These are not disciples. They're very loosely called Christians, but they're not disciples for sure. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. Now, we're going to get into another part. It's exactly like Kathy's revelation. Verse 12. Go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh. There it is. Was the place of the temple in the time of Saul's ministry, who, by the way, fell to the Philistine enemies of the land. You know, he lost his battle with the old man, so to speak. Right? Or if you want to see it as the government of the land. Yeah. Then David was anointed as man-child. Just after Saul fell, David was anointing as man-child, who succeeded him with Jerusalem, the bride, and the new temple there. All of this came after Saul. Because they thought they were something because they had the temple. And he's telling them they're trusting in lying words. They have to walk holy. And it's the same for people here who consider themselves Christians or consider themselves something other than strictly Christian, like different denominational names that they give to themselves, so they're proud of, you know. But these are just idolatries. That's all they are, because God forbid a denomination in the first place. So people are walking after their idols, and they think they're okay because they're doing what their preacher told them to do. But he hadn't obeyed either, or he wouldn't be in a denomination either. So, go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I caused my name to dwell at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising early and speaking, but you heard not. Well, you know, the Saul ministry and their temple is coming to an end. And the David man-child ministry will come with great destruction, I might add. We have seen how the Lord is coming with earthquakes and with volcanic activity and with tsunamis and all these things. And it's going to set the earth up for the tribulation. And I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto the house which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I did to Shiloh. I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. That's the northern 10 tribes that call those golden calves Elohim. Yahweh, whatever. So, Then there are, of course, people today who have a false Jesus. They've got a Jesus of their own making, and this is just as much idolatry as what they were in. Same thing. And, of course, God doesn't hear them, and they wonder why they don't have any faith, because God doesn't hear them. So, again, I ask for a confirmation concerning those God warned that were not in one spirit with us. In effect, it was revealed to us that they were keeping us from one accord in the upper room, preparation for the outpouring. If you remember, they came into one accord. They were praying for the outpouring, the promise of the Father. And they came into one accord, and then the outpouring came in Acts chapter 2. And, of course, we too are praying diligently for this. But the Lord warned us of these things. And also all out there in larger UBM, there's people like that. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's not a spotless and blemishless bride if it's got spots and blemishes, right? So it's time now for us to escape this beast by walking in repentance towards God. And you don't have to be perfect, naturally speaking, to walk in faith towards God. You just need to obey what you know to obey and walk by faith for the rest, right? Amen. And so the word that I got was Isaiah 1 and 7. Your country is desolate. That's kind of true, yeah. Your cities are burned with fire. I would say, spiritually speaking, that's true. The wood, hay, and the stubble is all on fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. That's true. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And that's true. They're invading by over 100,000 a year. They're sneaking them in every way they can possibly sneak them in. And the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, we should have been like unto Gomorrah, which is a pretty good description of the United States, by the way. And, so, the Lord confirmed Kathy's revelation there very neatly. And I replied to Kathy on the 21st, I believe it was. And I said, Kathy, I don't understand who would demonstrate against the Democrats. It seems they are the ones fomenting demonstrations against everybody else. Could it be a false flag excuse to blame the right and bring martial law? Yeah, I say it could be. And I say that's what the dreams say, that this will be to keep this president in office. But when God's people have repented and cried to him, he will come in the David man-child ministry as we see in the sequence here. And I'm going to share this with you because I asked what about the convention and got Ezekiel 29:19-21. And I don't believe that everything is going to happen here. I believe trouble could certainly happen there, but I believe it's the beginning of trouble, leading up to maybe even a couple of months of trouble, and that it gets exceedingly worse. We'll see. I don't know. And we've gotten this same text before. It's been confirmed. Ezekiel 29:19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give the land of Egypt unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. What a confirmation, right? And he shall carry off her multitude. Well, President Obama, I believe, will very likely bring martial law, unless people repent very, very quickly, to overthrow the U.S. and apostate Christianity. And he went on to say, And take her spoil, and take her prey, and it shall be the wages for his army. Will the refugee invaders and anarchists be paid through this? By the Christians losing their rights? Yes, it could be. I have given him the land of Egypt. Well, we know that Egypt represents God's people who went back to Egypt to trust in the old man to save them from the king of Babylon. But he conquered them. He went down to Egypt and conquered them. So that didn't work. And it represents God's people who walk after the arm of the flesh to try to be saved from these goings-on. They're doing everything they can to bring the Obama administration down, but God put them in there. And he hasn't permitted it. He's permitted the devil to do just exactly what he wants. And that is because his people have yet to come to repentance or see that this is a problem between them and God. Okay, so this giving Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, Egypt, goes on to say, as his recompense for which he served, because they wrought for me, saith the Lord. And this is so true. God put this government in there. Read Romans 13. There's no government that he didn't put in. He puts a good government for a good people and a bad government for a bad people. It depends on his purpose. If you want a better government, he'll give you peace, right? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him, right? So, what does this say? Well, that we're under threat of losing the country and their lives, and God's people will repent and pray under this threat. And that day will I cause a horn. Now, this comes immediately after this threat. Notice this. In that day will I cause a horn to bud forth unto the house of Israel. And I will give thee. Who is he talking to? Ezekiel. Because Ezekiel, like the man-child, was caught up to the throne and anointed to speak to the captives in chapters 1 and 2. And I will give thee the opening of the mouth in the midst of them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Well, now this is the coming of the Lord in his man-child. This is what we've been noticing is the earthquakes and all that. You know, the Lord coming with earthquakes. How many times does a visitation of the Lord come with earthquakes in the Bible? Many times we've seen. And we've gotten those verses. Because that's the way the Lord's coming, with the earthquakes, tsunamis, and so on and so forth. But that's also when the government, the beast government, falls. Okay, so, but he says, at least for the time being, he's giving Egypt over to the king of Babylon to make the people fear him. And then when they've done that, he's going to send his man-child. And I went on to say to Kathy, in both your text and mine, the Lord took credit for doing this. Notice that the Lord said, I have given him the land of Egypt. Now, what bunch of people out there call themselves Christians are going to take this back? If God doesn't give it back, we won't have it back. All they can do is raise up trouble for themselves with their self-will. Now, we can pray for grace for the cause of God's people anyway, right? We can pray God grant repentance and the enemy is smitten quickly. Amen? But God wants something. He's told us he wants something in return for this grace. And what he wants is repentance. He wants his people to turn to him, away from their idols and turn to him. And that's what we've been fasting and praying for, is that God would grant this repentance among the people, grant this revival among the people, so on and so forth. And, of course, I believe that when the Lord does come, like this text is speaking, and the government is smitten, God will raise up a new government more in favor of Christianity. And let me point out something to you that I started studying a couple days ago, and it's just a very interesting parallel between what's going on in Turkey and what's going on here. I believe that a false flag precedent has happened in Turkey. Obama has received a precedent for martial law, which I do believe that he helped to establish. The experiment worked. Now they're going to try it on a bigger scale in the United States. You know, after the uprising of a small group of Turkish military men without much military leadership, which has never happened before, usually there's a much larger group and there's generals behind, lots of generals behind and everything. And it always happens when they do that, but this is something they've never done before. It doesn't even look like a serious coup at all. So they didn't have much military leadership and it fell all apart. But now, Erdogan is using this excuse to purge Turkey of all opposition in a false flag, just as Hitler did, and I believe Obama will. And Obama now has a precedent and example from his good friend Erdogan, and they are good friends. There's a lot of similarities here. They both seem to be the same kind of people desiring the same kind of thing. Erdogan is purging all resistance. He's used this as an excuse, and nobody's resisting him. He's purging all resistance to a new radical Muslim state. And the purge is so extensive that, this is a quote, by the way, the purge is so extensive that few believe it was not already planned. Well, it doesn't appear that it was. It appears that it was a planned thing because everything was ready. Everything was ready to go when this happened. It wasn't as if they had to go out and find out things and see what to do. No, they already knew what they wanted to overthrow. President Erdogan, this is another quote, has overseen the rise of Islamic education in Turkey. And now Erdogan is purging all educators that resist, as I believe Obama has and will. And it seems obvious he already had his lists of names ready when the uprising came. He has covertly supported ISIS by illegally and covertly buying their oil, just like Obama has supported them with funds and military hardware. He has acted as though he was at war with them while doing no damage to them, just like Obama, same thing. So there's some very interesting parallels here. It's almost like the things that have been are the things that shall be. And the devil don't have any new tricks. He's doing the same thing. And it's very interesting. It sounds almost like Obama found a way to arm ISIS with nukes in order to blackmail the West. Turkey's pivotal geographical location is also the reason the U.S. air base at Incirlik in southern Turkey remains home to NATO's largest nuclear weapons facility. That's a quote. It was built by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers at the height of the Cold War. The facility still holds 50 B-61 hydrogen bombs, each one capable of generating an explosive force 100 times greater than the bomb that destroyed Hiroshima. and some 1,500 U.S. airmen and their families have been locked in the southern Turkish airbase of Incirlik, together with a stock of tactical nuclear bombs, since President Recep Erdogan crushed this attempted coup on Saturday, July the 16th. And, by the way, they cut off power there, too. I understand they restored power. But I haven't heard that anything else has changed. So, anyway, in the 4 days up until Wednesday, July the 20th, therefore, no airstrikes against ISIS in Syria and Iraq have been staged from that Turkish base. This extraordinary situation, reported here by Debka Files military sources, whereby a large group of American military personnel are held virtual captive by an allied government, was almost certainly raised in the phone call that took place Tuesday between President Barack Obama and Erdogan. But the most outlandish aspect of this affair is that no American official has raised it in public, not even the administration's most vocal critics at the Republican convention, which nominated Donald Trump as a presidential candidate. The situation only rated a brief mention in some Russian publications under the heading Turkish Investigators Enter and Search in Incirlik Air Base, where U.S. nukes are housed. Now, that's very interesting. That's a major thing that's not being told to the American public. Major, major thing. And Erdogan has been seizing more and more power in a semi-democratic state, just like Obama. And here's from various articles I'll make comments from. Erdogan appears to have aspirations of being the caliph or Mahdi of a new Ottoman Empire. And one of his false prophets has declared as much. It sounds a little like our Obama. You know, they were talking about him being the Messiah, you know. Interesting. Erdogan became president in 2014 after serving the limit of 3 terms as prime minister. Wow, that's interesting. Our president has come to the end of his legal term, but also seeks to continue. Wow. Though he has remained Turkey's de facto leader, even when occupying the ostensibly ceremonial presidential office. So it was, the presidential office was ceremonial. Now he's made it very effectual, and now it looks like it's a permanent thing. And then this article says the approach would be in keeping with Erdogan's pragmatic gradualist style. A guy named Kagafte said Erdogan has already amassed a great deal of power. He noted, but he's done so over 13 years. Well, we know Obama has more and more power in less time, but martial law would mean total dictatorship and a Muslim country. I'm talking about here. And, of course, that's what Erdogan's doing. He had a pretty much a secular country, secular military, but now he's overthrown that for radical Islam. And here's this article here goes says this, that of the greatest casualties of the coup is the Turkish military, and I'm saying, which was basically secular, but now will be radical Islam. Kagafte said, Erdogan has been trying to neutralize the military for years, in part through a series of dubious trials and convictions over an alleged coup plot. Does that sound familiar? I mean, they've overthrown about 300 of the top leaders of our government. It's questionable that we could fight a war. He has weakened the military so badly just to get down to people that would submit to him and weren't a right wing and weren't Christian and weren't all these things he wanted out of there. So what is the difference here? We're seeing the next step, I believe, in Turkish situation, unless God's people repent quickly. You can look in the news. Muslim gangs are beating white men and gang raping women in European countries who have accepted the militant Trojan horse refugees. And this is quickly taking over Europe and the United States. Although much is being covered up by criminal governments, the governments are taken over by political correctness demon and fear of being called racist if they don't let the racists rape their women. These stupid demons are everywhere. The world is doing crazy, crazy things that no common sense whatsoever, you know. But the devil is the god of this world. And when God turns people over to the devil, he makes people extremely stupid. They can commit suicide. These countries are committing suicide. America is too, because they don't speak up against this same situation happening here. So, and also, this country has rejected more of the gospel than all of these Europeans put together. And many foolishly think that it's not going to come here. Well, we're doing the same thing. The result is going to be the same unless God intervenes. We know what would make God intervene. Repentance among Christians of solidly seeking to be children of God. Only repentance can save us. My soul, my hope, I believe, is that the sign of Jonah, who was a sign of the resurrection of Jesus and the man-child, would continue, because on his spiritual resurrection, Jonah preached to Nineveh, whom I saw in a vision as America, and they repented. Now, this seems exceedingly above all we can ask or think. You know, I got to admit. And I do believe that only the elect here will repent. But yet, the sign is there. Okay? And I received this email from a person whom I can't say their name, but they work for the government with a team of others across the country to advise them on the future through gifts of discernment, prophecy, dreams, visions, etc. The government has done this for many, many years. They don't just pick from Christians. They've got other groups of psychics working for them, whole military attachments of psychics working for them, and they want to know about the spiritual realm. Well, that's a good way to get deceived, and they are. So, at any rate, this came from a person that happens to be a Christian that is doing this and advising. And so, they said, consistent with what we are receiving from our Southwest, Midwest, and East Coast contacts, expect a great increase in demonic activity, especially during and just after the DNC. Raising up as giants. Well, that's very similar to what Mina Lee Grebin said, too, you know. A lot of demonic activity. And so on. This past weekend, our local law enforcement personnel were not present at our annual police fireman picnic as they were engaged in martial law practice for this area. Well known in this area, not to keep us local residents in, but all others out. Not wanting refugee camps cropping up in this rural area so as to tax our local services. Large cities, Milwaukee, Chicago, and Minneapolis, St. Paul areas are to be hemmed in and places to avoid. Sunday's waking vision from one in their group, or I think it might have been this person, Sunday's waking vision showed Hillary Clinton growing in great size and stature in regards to demonic empowerment. As Donald Trump shrinks and becomes very anxious as one not knowing just how to respond as such demonic actions come forth. And this could be the false flag, martial law, you know, whatever. Riots, could be all that. And, of course, you know, he's not in a position yet to have any authority or power. He can have an opinion, and he will. And I don't believe this situation is going to last long. God is permitting this growing power of evil in the United States in order to bring the fear of the Lord upon Christians. So my thought here is pray for Trump. This will be temporary. Anyway, this person went on to say, collectively, all have reported a great mass of people as though demonically possessed, expressing their free will to do whatever comes to mind. Amidst earthquake, volcanic eruptions, and even nuclear detonations, as they flee their present areas for a place of safety, as forewarned by God. Okay, so you think possibly God's people will get run around a bit with some fearful things so they can go to God, right? And maybe give up hope of them being able to bring an end to this themselves, because I don't believe God's going to permit it. I personally believe God's going to be the one to bring an end to this. Just like he was the one to bring the end of Haman, Pharaoh, Sennacherib, it was God. People prayed. God heard. They gave up their works to defend themselves. They turned to God. You know, how long does it take a person to turn to God honestly, repent of their sins, confess their sins, and be in right standing with Him? Now, if God's people did that, there is no doubt that God will turn things around. No doubt. It's just not that hard to be in right standing with Him. And they went on to say, this will only occur as the man-child is betrayed in mortal combat. That. Of course, we have been receiving Judas verses constantly, speaking of how he betrayed Jesus. So, I mean, I know that's been going on with the faction, but we're still receiving these to pray against or whatever. And they went on to say, also, certain terrorist actions planned for earlier this year were canceled due to the heavy flooding in both the UK and the various parts of Europe. And we remember that, how that we prayed against things, and God did do something. He brought a storm in there and flooded them out. This person said, we are taking this as a pray-down blessing from our Lord and God of all. Well, amen. And remember, Haman directed his army to kill all of God's people. But the fear was on the Jews, and they sought God, and the bride interceded, and Haman lost his government at Purim, Pharaoh at Passover, Sennacherib when Hezekiah the man-child prayed. God's trying to get the attention of his disobedient people, so he can come and put an end to this. God is ready to offer great mercy and grace. When Jesus came at the beginning of his ministry, which is a type of the beginning of the tribulation, he gave grace to people that did not deserve it. And he's willing to do it again. So I want to talk to you about the 85. The number 85. It's a symbol to us because we've received several revelations about this. And one of them, it was a represented a Passover, which is great. I mean, a Passover from the destruction of the destroying angel, right? The destroyer. So I want to talk to you about this a little bit. So my question is, how far will we go in this downward spiral until there is a sufficient repentance to bring the new government for the United States and God's people too? Well, Leon received Psalm 85, which reminds us of three revelations that we've received of the number 85. Let's read it. Psalm 85 and 1. For the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. All right, delivered him from the beast. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. How we need this, right? Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine indignation towards us to cease. A prayer. The whole rest of this is a prayer. It's a prayer for God to grant repentance, turn us, that's what it means, to His people so that the indignation can cease. This is what we need. We need to pray that God grant repentance to His people so the indignation can cease and we can have the favor of God, right? Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? In other words, how long is this going to last? You know? How long? Well, we know it's until the tribulation when Pharaoh and Haman and Sennacherib fall. You remember Pharaoh fell at the Red Sea just when they went into the wilderness, which we know from Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 is the tribulation. And Haman fell when Mordecai was promoted and anointed and given the king's ring of authority, and that's at the beginning of the tribulation period. And Sennacherib fell at the time when Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord on the third day, which is a sign of the beginning of the tribulation period. So one reason we've picked these, and there's many others, but these are just, I think, main ones, is that the timing is limited to bringing God's people who are in captivity up to the place of freedom when the tribulation starts. So, wilt thou not quicken us again? Meaning, make us alive again. That's what quicken means. That thy people may rejoice in thee. Show us thy loving kindness, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. And some people, they repent for the moment. It's kind of like 911. Everybody went to church. Church is filled up on 911. They thought this was the beginning of something big here. And before long, they remembered why they didn't like church. And they left. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. The Lord is nigh. His salvation is nigh. them that fear him. See, God has to restore the fear because people won't repent. They won't turn back to the Lord. They won't renew their relationship with the Lord. They got a wonderful relationship with their religion and their phony doctrines that give them permission, but not with the Lord. And fear of the Lord changes this. We have to have the fear of the Lord before the man-child comes because he's given a voice. And nobody can talk to people that don't fear God. They're just too busy with all the other things, you know. I married a wife. Oh, I bought a yoke of oxen. Have me excused. Yeah. And verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And this is where Leon put his finger. Truth springeth out of the earth. And I do believe that this is talking about the resurrection out of the earth of the man-child ministry. And righteousness hath looked down from heaven. Yea, the Lord will give that which is good, and our land shall yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall make his footsteps a way to walk in. And I do believe this is again talking about the condition of repentance, and again the man-child coming. This is Jesus in the man-child ministry by the word and the spirit anointing, right? Righteousness shall go before him and shall make his footsteps a way to walk in. That's what we need, disciples of Jesus. Somebody that's an example of Jesus. Somebody in whom Jesus lives, right? Obviously, Moses knew how to go through the wilderness. He had just done it. You know, he knew how to go there. They knew he knew how to go there, so they followed him. Their leaders didn't know. They had to be followers because they'd never been there. Right? So, I'm going to get back to this 85 thing, but first, this same morning, Missy received the change of government to the man-child ministry. Ezekiel 17 and 22. Thus saith the Lord, I will also take of the lofty top of the cedar and will set it. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one and will plant it upon a high and lofty mountain, Mount Zion. This is the man-child ministry. Remember earlier in Ezekiel 17, he took the topmost of, which was also a leadership of the cedar, and took it to Babylon into bondage. And that was Zedekiah and his gang. And now we see that God's going to replace him with a true, good leadership. And in the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs, and bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all birds of every wing, all kinds of people all around the world. Because it says of every wing. In the shade of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, that was Zedekiah and his gang, and have exalted the low tree, and have dried up the green tree, that's the very rich people that left, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. So that was a very neat verse that we received that morning. And by the way, she asked, are you going to use martial law to bring repentance? And she got Ezekiel 32, 10 through 12. Yea, I will make many peoples amazed at thee, and their kings shall be horribly afraid for thee, when I shall brandish my sword before them, and they shall tremble at every moment, every man for his own life, in the day of thy fall. This is what we need, folks. We need this. If God shows favor to the wicked, he will not learn righteousness according to the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. By the swords of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fail, or to fall, excuse me. The terrible of the nations are they all, and they shall bring to naught the pride of Egypt. There it is again, king of Babylon conquering Egypt, which is the first great eagle in Ezekiel 17, and the second great eagle of Ezekiel 17. It's a civil war. But Egypt didn't stand a chance. And Egypt represents the people who walk in the flesh and not after their God. God said, don't ever return to Egypt. And they disobeyed the prophet who warned them not to do it. And returning to Egypt is returning to the dominion of the old man of the land over the new man, the spiritual man, the born-again man. And when a person walks after the flesh instead of after the spirit, that's what they're doing. And all the multitude thereof shall be destroyed. So it sounds to me like he was saying, yes. She asked, are you going to use martial law to bring repentance? It sounds like he's saying, yes. And Pam also received the same morning, Isaiah 43 and 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, who maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Sounds like the crossing of the Red Sea. Yes. Who bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the mighty man. They lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as a wick. Does this ever fit exactly what the Lord has shown us about the destruction of this government that's seeking to take down God's people? The death of Pharaoh and the resurrection of the Moses man-child ministry at the beginning of the wilderness tribulation. That's what this is pointing to. A change of government, spiritual government for God's people. And no doubt, that's when the physical government is changed, because that's when the present government is taken down. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth. There it is, coming forth out of the earth again. Shall you not know it? A new thing. For us, by the way, not for the whole world or not for history, but a new thing for us. Resurrection life will spring forth to the people to prepare them for the tribulation. He goes on to say, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me. The jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Don't worry, saints, if you're following the Lord, he takes care of his children. To give drink to my people, my chosen, the people which I formed for myself, that they might set forth my praise. Amen. Okay, now I want to get back to this 85. Like Psalm 85 was a sign, and we've been receiving 85 as a sign. This particular one I'm going to start with, we called it back in July the 25th of 2015. It was given to Eve Brass, and we called it Promise of Return to New Leadership. Aha! And it's all about Psalm 85. Isn't that cool? Okay, so let me share this with you. I dreamed I was in a building with many connecting rooms. And I wrote, the body is many houses made into one. Right? We are all individual houses, but we are all made into one. Eve said, I was going around and checking on all the local UBM brethren and talking with them. There was a huge water slide that many children were playing on in this building. She said, this building could represent the body of Christ, all being connected to one another, and the water slide, the water of life that keeps us connected. After I finished talking with Jeff, meaning peace, Jeff Shaw, I went out and got in my car to drive back into town. My car is a Mazda Protege. The meaning of protege is, quote, a person who receives support and protection from an influential patron who furthers the protege's career, unquote. Hey, that's pretty neat. That sounds familiar. We are disciples and protégés of Christ, she said. It was early morning, and then she has a note, the morning of the third day, and the road was freshly paved, narrow, two-lane blacktop road, with a newly painted double yellow line down the center, which means no passing, right? I believe that the freshly paved road represents the highway of holiness, the narrow road of a holy life, and of course it leads to Zion, the Bible tells us. Suddenly I realized that David Eales was in the passenger seat of my car with his Bible on his lap. He said, I bet they're thinking that I'm going to send a word over there to them. I asked, well, what is it? He said, Psalm 85. I believe David here represents the son of David, Jesus, and I would say in the man-child. And he was referring to the UBM brethren when he said them, because I had just left them in the building to head back into town. He then started to hand me his Bible, and I just casually took my hands off the steering wheel and took the Bible as the car continued to drive itself as if it was normal. Of course, we're protégés, right? Got somebody looking after us, taking care of us. As I was looking up Psalm 85, I was thinking, Psalm 85 and verse 13. So that was spoken to her in the dream, that says, righteousness shall go before him and shall make his footsteps a way to walk in. So she wasn't guiding her car, you know. The Lord was doing it. And she said, this verse is referring to the David man-child ministers. And then I woke up. Well, I'm going to share this text with you one more time here, because it was in this revelation back in 2015. And this first part is about the captivity returning, and the last part is about God giving them the man-child leadership, as you remember. Psalm 85 and 1, the Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. This must be because of repentance. Some are coming out of fleshly beast captivity now, and some later, as it was in the history of Israel. Thou hast covered all their sin. Well, that's because of repentance and faith towards God, right? Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine indignation towards us to cease. Lord, that's our prayer right now, Lord, that you would turn your people towards you in a miraculous way. Grant repentance to your people. Grant grief for sin. Cause them to be disciples. Cause them to try to listen to your voice and find out what you want, not just what they want. Please, let it be, Lord. Verse 5, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not quicken us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy loving kindness. Show us your mercy and your grace, Lord. Show us. And grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly, which would be captivity, right? Yeah. Surely his salvation is nigh to them that fear him. Well, that fear has to be restored. That's why we feel that the Lord is saying there's something going to happen here that's going to cause his people to fear, and it's probably martial law, captivity, the leadership suddenly turning to support Islam and take away rights of Christians, and we find out we've been taken, right? That glory may dwell in our land. Fear the Lord. Fear his salvation is nigh them that fear him, so that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springeth out of the earth, and righteousness hath looked down from heaven. Yea, the Lord will give that which is good. And this is an awesome psalm. And our land shall yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall make his footsteps a way to walk in. And that's obviously Jesus coming again in the Son of David as the man-child ministry. And at that time, back in 2015, in the morning prayer meeting, the verse I received for 3, 5, and 16. Let's see. Was John 1, verse, let's see, that must have been 15. Yes. Was 2 John 1, verses 12, 4 through 12, in context. I rejoice greatly that I have found certain of thy children walking in truth, even as we receive commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote to thee a new commandment, but that which we had from the beginning. For we love one another. And this is love, that we should walk after his commandments. Now, the people of God may love their religion and not walk after his commandments, but they cannot love him and not walk after his commandments, because he said, this is love. And this is the commandment, even as you've heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers are gone forth into the world, even they that confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. People that don't believe Jesus is coming to manifest in this flesh. These are people that don't know what salvation is. They don't know it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that as you absorb his word through obedience to it, he manifests himself in us. We are supposed to look like Jesus. He is our example. Let everyone that says that they abide in him walk as he walked. Verse 8, look to yourselves that you lose not the things which we have wrought. but that you receive a full reward. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. Well, this is a multitude of people that call themselves Christian. They don't walk in the teaching of Christ. They've been deceived. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. If anyone cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, that is, Christ is coming in the flesh, right? Receive him not into your house, and give him no greeting. For he that giveth him greeting partaketh in his evil works. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write them with paper and ink, but I hope to come unto you and to speak face to face, that your joy may be made full. I think about God saying that. You know, he did say that, didn't he? He wants to come. He wants to speak face to face. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, let's consider more of this Psalm 85 thing. Here's a revelation in 2012. April of 2012. Repairing the Passover. I know I shared this not this long ago, but I'm going to just abbreviate it a little bit, just so we can put all this together. Repairing the Passover for the East Coast earthquake to take down D.C. is what we call this. And this is about Psalm 85, too. And so here's, on 4:19 and 12, Rick Sergeant said, I saw the word earthquake in red letters. I then saw these words, great destruction will impede traveling. Then I saw the number 85. I did not know what this number meant. Well, that's okay. We didn't know a lot either, but the dream helped. Okay. After asking the Lord to explain to me about this 85, I received this revelation from Deborah Horton. Within 2 days, an 85 is emphasized again. Now, what's the chances of that? Okay. She didn't know about Rick's dream. And in this dream of hers, I was restoring I-85 overpass, or Passover, going to Washington, D.C., where a record earthquake had just happened. And it was a sign of the great earthquake to come, which I believe is following the same path. And here's a portion of it. Deborah said, there was a highway work crew repairing the overpass where I-85 goes over Highway 29. I'm abbreviating this. I'm cutting out a lot. I'm just putting the meat of it here so you can understand. The spiritual road crew represents those reformers, this is my thoughts, who restore the path to dwell in. Isaiah 58 and 12, it says, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Hey, we need this. People need to be restored to the correct path of walking in the steps of Jesus, because that's repentance. And this is how we'll have a Passover, right? And Deborah's note here is overpass is a wordplay on Passover. If we want the Lord to pass over our sins, we must forgive everyone. This is true. But I was giving place to doubt and bitterness about a particular person when I had this dream. So God was bringing a correction to Deb here and also to anybody that's listening right now. And Deb later told me, 85 is meaning 8 equals new beginning. And 5 equals grace. New beginning and grace. This is what we're talking about. This is what Psalm 85 is talking about. A new beginning and grace. She says, Highway 29 mostly parallels and zigzags back and forth across the path of I-85. Okay. So this is Highway 29 represents this earthquake that's going to Washington, D.C. Here's comments from Rick's emails. In Deborah Horton's dream, David was over a highway work crew repairing the I-85 overpass. Yes, that's true. That was part of what their dream said. And Passover of Highway 29, which represents the coming East Coast earthquake, meaning God's people must be prepared through faith and good works to escape these quakes. Right? My thought. Back to Rick's email. He said, in the natural, Highway 29 goes to the heart of Washington, D.C., which speaks of the future quake. USGS says the epicenter of the 8-23-11 earthquake was a 5.8. Notice that's 85 backwards, 5.8 quake. It was 5 miles from south-southwest of Mineral, Virginia, which is 84 miles to the outskirts of D.C., probably 85 to the White House. Okay, interesting again with that 85 number. Number 29 may mean a second quake or judgment, 2 equals second, or it can mean division by earthquake, right? And 9 equals judgment. Okay, so that was Rick's email with a couple of my thoughts thrown in. And I said in 4:21 and 12, I am convinced of the spiritual revelation of the number 85 as a Passover and that these quakes are coming. But it is interesting that a Passover is being repaired on the I-85 interstate going over Highway 29 and goes 84 or 85 miles from the epicenter of the last quake in Virginia to D.C., where the same 5.8 quake judged the Washington Monument, the Statue of Liberty, and cracked the White House. Not a chance that this is not a sign. I said that back in 2012. Well, it is a sign. It's a sign of something that's coming quickly. A much bigger than a 5.8 quake. Following the fault line that this quake followed. In other words, it's already laid down. It's already in the ground. I said government and liberty will be changed by this. That was in 2012. And yes, what we're seeing is that it's going to take down this government and there will be liberty and a change of government. I am convinced that we must be entitled to the Passover of this judgment because it's going to shake the East Coast, the Midwest, the West Coast. It's going to shake the country. And a lot of people are going to die. We need a Passover. Remember, before they went into the wilderness, there was a Passover. Egypt was destroyed, but the people of God were preserved because of the Passover. You must believe that Jesus bore the curse for you. You must repent of going your own way, or you don't have a Passover. The blood must be upon your doorposts, or you don't have a Passover. This is what we're trying to say. Get people ready. We're trying to prepare this I-85 Passover. And, of course, this Passover was paid for by Jesus when it does come. Make sure your heart's right with God and your brethren by abiding in Jesus Christ. And here's what I said back then. When God's people were escaping Egypt, there was a Passover and Red Sea tsunami which took down the beast government over them and freed them to go into the wilderness tribulation unhindered. A change of government is seen here. According to archaeologists, that Pharaoh died in the Red Sea by drowning. DC 2 drowns by quake and tsunami. And then I put watch and read, which is a revelation there. I saw a vision in 1998 of America as Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And when this Assyrian beast under Sennacherib had conquered the people of God, he thought to take the bride, Jerusalem, but lost his mighty men and was himself taken down by his own sons. A change of government is seen here. We received Jonah three times in the last few days. Once when he was spit out of the great fish, he preached to Nineveh, and they repented in a miracle from God. In Joel 2, when the northern army tried to take the bride, Jerusalem, who cried out to God to save them, and God answered and took the army down, leaving a revival. In Esther, the Haman government to kill the people of God was killed, and Mordecai, the man-child, promoted. Purim was a Passover. Okay, so, and this last revelation I want to share with you here is also about 85. And we called it, and this was in 2014. We called it, and it was from Pamela Orr. We called it Bride Leads America to Its Destiny. Its Destiny. And Pamela said, in the dream, I'm in a park or field with a small group of people. And the only one I recognized is Brother David. The small group represents his elect. I'm wearing a long white dress with long trailing sleeves that are rippling in the breeze. Since I'm in bridal wear, Father is having me represent the bride. Yes. I heard of horses milling around in the distance. The horses are distressed. I would say that they're distressed now. There's all kinds of crazy things happening in the world, but they may be more distressed in the very, very near future, because you'll discover who the horses are here in a minute. The horses are distressed. This reminds me of the restlessness of many countries nowadays. Also, Daniel threatened the civilizations to beasts, or likened, excuse me, the civilizations to beasts. Suddenly, one of the horses breaks out of the herd. It breaking out causes me to think it has to do with revival being in America. We always say of revival that it breaks out. This white horse begins to gallop towards me and my small group. It's not threatening me. Rather, it seems to be coming specifically to me for some kind of help. She says in parenthesis, white represents that, even though it's a beast and somehow representing America, it also serves the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who in Revelation is depicted as riding a white horse. Could this horse also be the flesh of those who walk in white in America, breaking away from the secular government in fear to go to the revival with the bride? Because that's where the revival is going to start, right? She says, I stepped towards the great stampeding animal, unafraid. I extend my right hand to simply say, whoa, and the horse stops abruptly. I grab its halter and calm it down. And after it comes to rest, I turn to take it to whom it belongs. Somehow I learned that this horse's name is America. Okay, so it breaks out of the pack. It's not going with the crowd. Something new is happening here. It breaks away from the crowd of the other nations. You can see how the other nations are quickly going down the drain, obviously. Something new is happening to America in this revelation. And then we read Isaiah 43, where a new thing came for God's people. And when I walked the horse America to its owners, they offered to pay me $85. So there's the 85 again. And my point is here that we are not called to be a government for America, but the church. America will have its secular government because America is mostly secular. And God gives them that kind of government to keep them in line until they come under God's government. This is what Paul said that the law was for. It's a temporary measure until the seed should come to whom the promise is due. I can't understand Christians going back under the law. It was a temporary measure. Paul said so. And he said, if you go back under the law, you're a son of the handmaid and not a son of the free woman. Boy, that would make me tremble to read that and know that some people are just going back under the law, thinking that they can justify themselves by the works of the law. Okay, but the people of the world in America haven't the ability or the gift to obey the word of the word type government, right? As long as they're in their law state, they don't understand it. They can't do it. They have no ability, right? So they still need their government. We don't need a government to tell us to do good, not do bad. We have God's government in our heart telling us that. We don't even need a law. That's for lawbreakers. We don't even need the law. We, by nature, keep the law, Paul said. You that are going back under the law, you must have to be under some forceful control or you won't obey God. So, Pam said, after the dream, I sought the Lord for the meaning of 85. It is a multiple of two prime factors, 5, which means grace, and 17, which means deliverance through tribulation. Pretty good. We obviously need that before the tribulation, right? We need 85 before the tribulation, don't we? Pretty neat there. And that, of course, is a Passover, because before the wilderness, there was a Passover in Egypt. 7 days later, they were entering into the wilderness. And they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. So they received that grace from God and deliverance through tribulation, which is wilderness. I don't want to accept their money because basically I did a good deed. And I might say Psalm 85 will be given to the bride and the people who walk in white in America. I didn't want to be paid, but I say it would be nice to have $20, though. This would pay for my trip. Unquote. A couple of the people shell out a few smaller denominations. She says, were these smaller denominations representing the fact that the people will soon be revived come from the smaller denominations? I don't know. I think they'll probably come from that too. And while this was going on, I noted that the pattern of the tree leaves formed the outline of a skull. This made me feel like the times were ominous or deadly for many people. This is true. We found this out, haven't we? And after I took America back to its owners, I returned to my group. And I ask, could this be the new owners or government of the Lord that He has been promising to America? It could be. Because God gives them, I believe, this new owner after this revival begins to take shape because God's people are repenting. Right? Then it's as if we are all leaving. I'm up high, like in the top of a double-decker bus or trailer, as if driving off. I see the trailer in which they've loaded the horse America, but I don't see it again. She said this might mean that as the tribulation proceeds, the America that we knew we will not see again. Yes, that could very well be because you know all the things, the judgments that come upon the world in the book of Revelation change everything. Everything. And the fact that God's people are going to be in wilderness learning to trust in God, being trained by the man-child, and everything's going to change for them, too. Because in the wilderness, you can't see Egypt, right? And we'll be in the wilderness under our own government of the man-child bride. But I need to say this, too, that the wilderness can be anywhere geographically. It's just trusting in God and not in self, right? Because in our white flesh, like this white horse, we will obey the government of America, but we will also obey the spiritual government leadership. See, so the Lord tells us to obey the rule of governments. Of course, that means unless they come against what God commands you, right? So we need to find that balance too. At this point in the dream, it's as if there are two areas. There's one area where the horses and owners and other people are located. In other words, I believe this is in the world. And there's the other area where I, along with the smaller group, is standing. And I believe this is in the wilderness. I see an arch. There is an arch over us, around us, but no gate. This arch seems to provide separation. In other words, separated from Egypt in the wilderness. And now, 2 years later, after having found the dream again, but I'm wondering if God, because she's putting an update note here, right? But I'm wondering if God was showing me Trump before he announced his candidacy and made political news. I'm pondering this because Father often uses word association to speak to me. And when I think of the word arch, I think of the famous arch in Paris called De Triomphe. I didn't pronounce that very good. She says pronounced De Triomphe. Triomphe. Okay. To an untrained ear, like mine for French, the famous arch sounds like the Trump. Amen. And of course, you know, the first Trump starts the tribulation too, right? Wouldn't that be interesting? It's right there when the New York, D.C. earthquake happens, and the government's taken down, and a new government is formed, and they've already elected Trump, probably, but weren't able to put him in because of martial law. All of a sudden, right there at the beginning of the tribulation period, Trump goes in there. You reckon that's a sign? Because that's very close to the tribulation. The first Trump in office. How about that? Anyway, Immediately after the dream, I asked Father for a word for the horse called America, and he gave me at random Hebrews 9 and 17. For where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of him that made it. Amen. Well, we know Jesus died to give us a new testament, a new covenant. And, of course, the man-child dies in order to be a minister of that new covenant to many of God's people who don't even know it exists. She said, I also asked Father for a part about the arch and that small group of us that were separated by that arch. And I received at random Judges 5:24 through 26. Blessed above women shall Jael be, the wife of Eber the Kenite. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, that was Sisera, remember, the leader of the enemy army. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought him butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the tent pin, and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote through his head. Yea, she pierced and struck through his temples. So here you have the Beast Army leadership in America smitten as Pharaoh at the Red Sea, right? And that, of course, separates the people of God from the people of the world. And here's her comments about Sisera. Sisera being conquered predates the Sennacherib scenario, which is where we know the Zion bride escaped the beast. But I just feel that Father provided this verse for the parallel. A woman defeating a general can be compared to his bride defeating spiritual generals. Yeah, like the bride and Haman, right? Amen. Good point. My Bible dictionary described the meaning of the name Sisera as binding in chains. Wow. So, Father gave us a verse where the binding in chains was defeated. This again speaks to me of what happens during revival. In other words, many chains are broken when we're like this woman, Jael, truly humble, living in a tent, in mobile tabernacles. We are blessed because we are able to defeat on any level, even to the extent of an entire country, and bind as if they were in chains, whatsoever comes against the will of God. Yeah, we have authority to bind for the Lord. Psalm 149 and 6 through 9 says this, Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. That's the word of God, right? To execute vengeance upon the nations, and punishments upon the peoples. To bind their kings with chains. There it is. I mean, they would have bound us with chains, but the exact opposite is now possible to the bride and anybody who exercises their faith in a state of innocence. Okay? And their nobles with fetters of iron. Wow. To execute upon them the judgment written. Well, we know what the judgment written is, and that is the government is going to fall before God's people are freed to go into the wilderness. and they are going to be anointed there with the Holy Spirit and water baptized, according to Paul. And this honor to bind their kings with chains, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Now we know that God has put this government up there to be scary to the Christians and cause them to repent, turn to God for help, and that would be the ideal time for God to show his power like he did to Pharaoh. For this very purpose did I raise thee up, he said of Pharaoh, that in you I might show my power. See, lots of Christians have tried to overthrow this government in many little ways that they have tried to do it, and all have failed. And I'm suggesting it's going to fail up until the time God brings it to pass, just to show us that we couldn't do it, that he's the only one that can do it. And so we must go to him. Many people are out there doing all kinds of things, works of the flesh, in order to bring this to pass, but it's not happening. You say, well, what about Trump? Well, God promised to do that, and he's doing it. You can't take credit for that. This is a real phenomenon here. And by the way, I don't think that's going to work either until God says so. I don't think he's going to permit it until God's people turn to him and ask him to do this. And so Pam offers a prayer here. She said, Father, thank you for showing us America breaking out of that herd and coming to us. Father, thank you for showing us that the bride is in charge or leading America. Yep, the world don't know it, but the bride exercises that authority that we just spoke about in Psalm 149. And that's just as Esther and Mordecai did. Yes, we know that the devil is the god of this world and that America will eventually go to its rightful owner, but only because we are leading. As you will. But thanks to this dream, you've shown that we have a walk with the country. We have a window of time where the country will turn towards us. Take us, your dove, your bride, to the heavenlies, Father, so that we can breathe and live and have our being in you. And just simply know what to decree. Thank you for helping us to accomplish what you would have us do and pray and defeat during this time that you have ordained for us. Well, amen. We need wisdom. We need wisdom of the Lord to know what he wants. Recently, we have bound riots from the invaders for 36 cities, and it didn't come to pass. For the Republican National Convention, and it didn't come to pass. God heard our prayers. They made excuses every time, but let's just face it. You don't brag openly about something you don't plan to do, because then when it don't come to pass, you look stupid. Well, they look stupid. It didn't come to pass. Okay, because God's people prayed. And I do believe we can lessen this all along the way and ultimately even bring it to an end. I mean, God's told us about the destruction of the government so that we would believe it and speak it into existence. God speaks to us in dreams just like he spoke to people in the Bible. It was direction. It was so that they knew they were in the will of God, so that they could speak things to bring it to pass. And you may speak the downfall of a government that wants to destroy Christianity in America, and it will come to pass. as God decides the timing. Because you know that. You've been spoken. You've been receiving this from the Lord. The words that we've received over and over point to this. God wants us to know what's His will so we can be confident that when we speak something, it'll come to pass, right? Personally, and for the church, we know that we're not under the curse. I'm talking about the real church, the called out ones. We know that we're not under the curse because Jesus bore the curse in Galatians 3 and 13, and therefore we don't have to bear it, so we can speak against it. And many things that the beast decides to do to the people of God to bring about destruction and devastation. I'm not talking about a chastening so that the fear of the Lord comes on people. We can just be patient and rest in the Lord. We don't have to go out there and cast down the whole world in order to save Christianity. We just need to rest in the Lord. He will lead us and He will guide us. He will give us His wisdom. We need to rest in Him. And Father, we put our faith towards You. We know that You've spoken these things to us. We know that You are ultimately going to bring an end of the evil government over Your people because Your people are going into the wilderness. And You've shown us, too, that You're bringing an end to the evil government over America. But not by man's works. Not by our works or anybody else's works, but by Your works. And so we speak it into existence, Lord. We thank You that it's done. We thank You for this new government. We thank You for Your people being repented because You led us right straight to a Psalm 85 that showed us that we should be praying that God would grant the people repentance. So that's according to the will of God. It's in the scenario. So, Lord, we ask You for that more than anything, that a wave of repentance would go throughout this country and people would realize, uh-oh, we're losing our country. We're going to be persecuted. They hate us. They want to bring us into bondage and death and so on and so forth. And we're not under the curse. Some know that. I would say a minority of people know that. And pray against it. Lord, we just thank You that You have given us the victory in Christ Jesus, that Psalm 85 is our promise. And all these other 85s are pointing to the Passover, the destruction of the enemy, etc. They're pointing to the same thing. Thank You, Lord, for this revelation. We ask for many more. We ask that You encourage Your people. We ask that You give dreams specifically about what things You would like us to bind and to cast down, and things that would actually further the kingdom if we didn't pass them down, if we didn't cast them down. Because there are some things like that. The fear of the Lord is necessary at this time. So, Father, we thank You for Your wisdom. You made reconciliation through our Lord Jesus Christ, which is an exchange of our foolishness for His wisdom, for one thing. Of our sickness for His health, and our lack of wisdom for His wisdom. And we thank You for that, Lord. We believe it. We believe it was done at the cross, and it's our right to ask of You wisdom in these days. You told us not to be double-minded, but to ask. And You'd give it liberally. So, thank You, Father, for giving us wisdom in how to pray, when to pray, everything. Lord, we just want to be Your mouthpiece. We thank You for the ultimate victory that You've shown us is coming. It's in Psalm 85. And also the new leadership that is coming. You Yourself are going to be the shepherd of Your sheep, You said in Ezekiel 34. And also that David, Your minister, would be there. And we know that's true too. And that also You would conquer the Edomites, those that have persecuted Jacob or Israel or the church. David, when he comes into the anointing, will conquer the Edomites immediately. That's the next thing he's going to do. Thank you, Father, for everything that you're going to do for your people who love you and serve you and want to live in holiness and want to live in freedom because they're not under the curse. We thank you for doing this, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we hold fast to your word. We praise you for working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. We thank you, Lord, for opening our understanding. Lord, they say that we don't use most of our brain. And I consider that due to the curse. Lord, we're not under the curse. And we know that intelligence is not everything, but it helps us to be able to cooperate with you somewhat. And we know that the wisdom of God, we have the mind of Christ. And I just got a feeling Jesus' mind wasn't 90% useless. So we have the mind of Christ. Lord, we ask you to give us your wisdom to make it through these times ahead. Your many gifted body, your many gifted man-child, your bride, all this new government, this new leadership. A new government for your church, Lord, and a new government for the United States. Just like there was a new government for Egypt, and there was a new government for the people of God. Oh, praise God, because Pharaoh died in the Red Sea. Okay, Lord, we know that your parallels all work out right. They are prophecies of things to come. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your wondrous promises in Psalm 85. We hold fast to them. We believe them. We pray that prayer there in Psalm 85, Lord, that you will grant your people repentance, that you will turn us again, Lord God. And we just receive it in the name of Jesus.